That was really nice. I really missed worshiping with you guys last week at Spring Fling. I am going to introduce our speaker today. Mike, I don't know if you have the slides. Yeah. Okay, so some of you know my daughter Sophie, and I've been in WIT. You guys know them probably. But last year, Sophie's senior practicum was on complaining. And a lot of you girls went to her session that she had up in the wrestling room one lunch. And basically the gist of her practicum was that to keep from complaining, we need to gain a right perspective on our lives. And one of the sources that she used was this book, Mike, you can go to the next one, called When Changing Nothing Changes Everything. And I heard this woman on Focus on the Family, and I told Sophie, you have to get this book because it is perfect for your practicum. So she used it as one of her main sources. And so part of her project was she made this poster, and she gave you girls a lot of copies and put it up. But basically, it's just a reminder of all the different things that God's done for us, will do, has done, just to gain a better perspective. Anyway, the author of this book, her name is Lori Short, and I sent her the picture, and I explained. I said, thank you for your book. It was beautiful, and it inspired my daughter. And we became friends. And so she is an awesome speaker, and she used to do youth ministry, and she wrote over 17 books for youth, and she's written several books for adults. And she happens to be in the area. Her new book was released yesterday, and we are very blessed to have her, and I'm excited for you guys to hear her because she's pretty awesome. So, Lori.
Well, it is so great to be with you guys. And I know, looking at me, it's going to be hard to believe this, but I, at one time, was in high school, too. And we actually only had, I think, 7 channels on our TV set. So the most popular show was The Brady Bunch. Do you guys, your parents know that show, right? So we all had hair like Marsha Brady. So I actually brought a picture of me in high school. And I think if you could put it up there, that's from my yearbook. And so that's what I look like, hair parted in the middle, long hair. We all look like that. And what I want to tell you about that girl is that she grew up in a family where she was actually baptized as an infant in the Serbian Orthodox Church. That's right, my grandfather came over from what was formerly Yugoslavia. He's 100% Serbian. He was one of 5 kids and the only one sent to America because they thought their family was going to die. And they wanted the name Polich, which is my maiden name, to continue. And so he got on a boat and literally with a dollar in his pocket, could not speak a word of English, and arrived on Ellis Island and had a distant cousin in California. So he came all the way to California, started as a dishwasher, and ended up owning a construction company and put all of his grandkids, including me, through college. And so that is the heritage I come from. And my grandparents actually started some Serbian Orthodox churches across this country. Now, here's the problem with growing up in a Serbian Orthodox church. You don't really understand what they're talking about when you're sitting in church. And sometimes, and I bet some of you have come, maybe grown up in churches like this, sometimes you don't understand what's going on in church, and they're actually speaking English. So, I mean, you know, there are times, and that happens. And I was baptized as an infant. My mom said, actually, the priest almost drowned me in the water. She was a little concerned, but that might have something to do with what I'm doing today. So, who knows? But anyway, it wasn't until I was a senior in high school, and I always believed in God, and I knew there was a God, but we were kind of 2 or 3 times a year Christians in my household. It wasn't that we didn't believe, but we didn't really have a relationship with God. And I was in high school, and I was in the midst of a very, very significant relationship with this guy, my boyfriend. We dated for 3 weeks, and it was, I mean, it was deep, you guys, really deep. And during that time that we were in this deep relationship, he had promised his Young Life leader, and I understand that some of you had just went through a Young Life camp. Listen to this. He had promised his Young Life leader that he was going to go to this weekend winter camp. And so I'm like, well, gosh, you know, you are my life at this point in time. And so, of course, I'm going to go with you. I have no idea where we're going, but we're going. And I was one of those kids in the back of the bus making out with her boyfriend, having no idea that that would be the weekend that would change her life. And I will tell you that that's, I don't even remember the speaker, but he was talking about this God that I thought I knew in such a different way. And maybe some of you had that experience last week. But I was just sitting there thinking, man, I don't have this. And he was saying, you know, all it takes really is for you to say yes to God. See, he's done everything. You know, he sent his son, he died on a cross for you, he wants to have a relationship with you, but he will not ever force his way into your life. You have to say yes. And so I'm sitting there, my heart is beating so loud, and I'm like, I cannot believe this. None of my friends knew, and I just stood up. And that was the weekend that I said yes to Jesus. And I want to tell you something, my boyfriend and I soon broke up right after that camp. But Jesus and I have been together ever since. So that is the whole reason that I went to that camp. Now, those of you who are Christians, and I assume many in this room are, know that the Christian life is an up and down journey. It's really three steps forward, two steps back. And sometimes if you're like me, you feel like, God, I don't even know why you even give me a chance. I just blow it all the time. And what I want to tell you today is my new book is actually called 40 Verses to Ignite Your Faith. And these aren't the typical verses that you hear, the ones I saw, some verses that I love, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 up in the office. You know, there are some verses that we memorize, right? We love them. These are all those hidden verses that you don't always see that I think show us so much about our faith. So I'm super excited about this book. As Dori said, it just launched yesterday. What I want to do in chapel today is just give you one of these verses. And this verse is found in Luke 22. And just to give you some background, speaking of blowing it, Jesus was telling Peter that he was going to deny him. And Peter was like, no way. You guys know how that feels. Some of you feel that way this, you know, today, this week, because you've just been on fire. But, you know, after you're on fire, you think, there's no way I'm ever going to blow it again. I'm going to be such a committed Christian. And then, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, by Thursday, usually you've done something that isn't what you wish you had done. And you're like, gosh, I'm such a loser. Well, Peter was in that place. He's like, there's no way I'm going to deny you, Jesus. No way. And he's like, you know what, Simon? And it's interesting that he calls him Simon, because Simon was his given name. Peter was his God name. Simon was who he was, and Peter was who he was becoming. And Jesus addresses him as Simon to address that earthly part of him, to say, Simon, I know you. I love you. I love you even in that earthly state. And you will one day be Peter. But Simon, Satan has asked me to sift you like wheat. And then he says these words. And this is the verse, one of the verses in my book. And that's the verse I want to walk you through today. For anyone here who feels like they're not worthy or can't do it or blows it too much, you have a God who believes in you. Do you guys know that? He believes in you. He is your greatest cheerleader. And you're going to see that in this verse. Here's what he says. Simon, I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And when you turn back, strengthen your brothers and sisters, I will add. So here is what we learn from this verse. I'm just going to walk through it with you. The first is, I have prayed for you. Does that blow you away? That Jesus can pray for us. That we have a helper in the Holy Spirit that's going to help us. And we have a God who's on our side. I think sometimes we feel like God's up there. And you know what? Even though we don't talk about it, don't you sometimes feel like God's up there going, well, he's got 10 points this week. 9 points, not so good. He did that the other day, and that was really bad. I mean, it's like we have this idea that God is just keeping track, that we're making points with God. We can't make points with God. Because we are saved by grace. It's what we don't deserve. God just loves us. He loves you in the middle of your sin, and he loves you when you're being with your arms raised worshiping God. He loves you. His love doesn't change. I have prayed for you. Is God essentially saying to you, I am for you. I am with you. I'm not the one keeping the demerits. I am on your side. So I have prayed for you, Jesus says. And then the next thing he says, that your faith may not fail. Now I was looking at this verse and I'm like, that's really interesting, isn't it? You would think he would say, I have prayed for you that you will not fail. No, he knows Peter is going to fail. So what he's praying is your faith will not fail. Now why? Because it's when we lose faith that we start heading down ways apart from God, because we don't believe in him anymore. He's not coming through for us anymore. Now, I found this little meme on the internet that I think well represents life. I think that a lot of times we go to God with the top frame, don't we? It's like, okay, this is my plan for my life. And some of you might be too young, but let me just even ask in a crowd this size, how many of you to this day are living the plan you thought you would? Look at this. Okay, one guy in the back. But otherwise, most of us have probably hit a snag or two along the way. And I will tell you that I was your age when I hit my first snag. I graduated high school, and I was going to go off to UCLA. I actually majored in theater arts because I was going to become an actress. And you can see how well my career went. But anyway, I was going to be an actress, and I was, you know, everything was great in my life. But my family life was falling apart. And maybe some of you can relate to that here. My parents got a divorce right when I graduated high school. I had two brothers at home, and they got a divorce. And to make matters worse, 5 years later, my dad actually met and married someone who is 3 years older than me. Now, girls, just imagine that for a minute, you know. Dad comes home and says, here's your new stepmother. And, you know, it wasn't like that because I was already graduated. But let me just say something, you guys. This was not the plan I had for my life. And some of you are not living the plan you had for your life, and it has nothing to do with you. It's decisions that have been made by the people around you. And that's what divorce does. The kids get swept up, and it's not a decision you made. And that's what happened to me. And that decision changed my life for the rest of my life. Now, I'm happy to say that both my parents ended up remarrying, and they had lovely second marriages. And my dad is still married to this woman, and she's wonderful. And he's in his 80s now, and she's taking care of him. And, I mean, she ended up being, now you guys are going, man, this girl's old. I didn't realize. But the truth is, at that time, I couldn't have seen all that, what God was going to do. All I knew is that my life was going to be different. So maybe that speaks to somebody who's here today. Now, here's the second snag I had in my life. Now, I wasn't the ring by spring gal in college, right? I know that a lot of girls go to college, it's like, I'm getting my MRS degree. And I wasn't really that, but I decided and told God, because I was a Christian at this point, that I would like to get married at 25. How many of you have ever told God what you wanted him to do for you? Come on, let's all, okay, right. Okay, so I was like, you know, 25, Lord. And by the way, how's that going for you? It never goes very well for me. But anyway, 25 came and went, and then when 30 hit, I began to pray a little bit louder. And I actually recruited some other people in my prayer, because by now, many of my friends had already gotten married. They were starting to have babies. And I was starting to speak to teenagers and youth workers all across the country. I was working for an organization called Youth Specialties. And so I literally recruited people all over the country that were going, Lord, have mercy and bring this girl a husband, right? You know what I mean? And so, you know, and then when 40 hit and I was still not married, I began to suspect that God was deaf. I don't know if you've ever suspected that in your prayer life. But I'm like, okay, I've been praying for this prayer for like 15 years, and there's a lot of other people praying. What is wrong, God? This isn't something like out of the ordinary. And it felt like everybody else was married. I was a professional bridesmaid at this point, right? My closet was full of bridesmaids' dresses. Now I was starting to go to baby showers and, you know, all this stuff that was happening. And it wasn't happening for me. So at 42, when I finally got engaged, the hallelujah chorus broke out in my household. I'm not kidding. My dad was like, thank you, Jesus. And he doesn't even pray that way. And I, you know, had my two wedding showers and right away, because everybody wanted to give me one, because now I was finally going to be the bride, and picked out my wedding dress, the most beautiful dress you've ever seen. And then just a couple of months short of my wedding, my fiance got deployed. He was a Marine reservist, and I know there's a lot of military in the area, so you guys know what this is like. He was going to be gone 9 months. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm just close to the goal, about to go over the goal, and now I have to wait. So we contemplated the shotgun wedding, but wisely decided against it. And he left. I thought, you know what? I've waited this long. I can wait this much longer. We had furniture in the home, you know, and I was like, you know, we were getting all ready to move into this home. And I was, so he left and he was gone 9 months. Now, unbeknownst to me, his ex-wife, who had actually left him, began to have second thoughts about their divorce and was writing him while he was away. And so when he came back from his 9 months, we actually broke up and he remarried his ex-wife. Which is a great story when you're not the girl engaged to the guy, okay? And, I mean, there were well-meaning Christians who would say to me, well, isn't it great that God used you to bring them back together? And I'm like, you know what? It's fabulous, and I hope you have the same opportunity someday. But in all seriousness, you guys, in all seriousness, I'm now 43, and my own parents got divorced. And there were two kids in this picture, and I was growing very close, especially to the daughter. She was 8. But I knew in my heart that if two people could get back together, it was a great story. It was a great story for everyone but me. And I wonder if any of you have ever felt that way. Like, God, I see you at work in other people's lives. What is happening to me? And I think about Jesus' prayer to Peter. I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, because one day, Peter, you won't always see evidence of me. I won't always be doing what you think I should be doing. I won't always be the Santa Claus God in your life. But Peter, I want to be the living God in your life. And I want to take you places that you may not want to go, but they're going to grow your faith. They're going to make your testimony better. They're going to make you a person that is going to reach other people, because Peter, you're not here just for you. And God really spoke to me during that time. And I have to tell you guys, there was a season in that time for 5 years when I was speaking all over the country and my life was falling apart. I'm back in my apartment. My wedding dress is now hanging in my mother's closet. Literally, she put a humidifier on it. It was her hope chest, I think. And I couldn't deal with it, and I couldn't even get my shower gifts that were in his garage, and we barely even saw each other again. And I was called to speak. And I remember just being on my face before God. What am I going to say? If I share my story, people are going to walk away from me. Like, if that's what it's like to walk with God, forget it. And you know what I heard God say in the quietness of my heart? It's like, do you think I don't know this? Do you believe I'm God? Do you know that I already know that you're a speaker? And I already know that your life is falling apart? And I have a plan. So little girl, you just go ahead and tell your story. And you watch what I do. And so you know what, you guys, I did. In that season, I would stand up and, you know, a lot of times I'd be training youth workers or talking to kids, but I'd find a way to tell my story, because I'm, as you can tell, that kind of speaker. I just talked, I told them, and I would get to the end of my story, and just like you all, they would be like, oh no. And then I would say this, but you know what? God's not through with my story. And I know I'm 43, and I don't know if I'll ever get married, and that might not be a part of my story, but I know one thing. I got up this morning, and I'm still breathing, and I have a good God, and He is not through with my story. And some of you are in that right now. You're in the middle of your story. That was part of the book that Dory said, the big view of your life. That's your perspective to say, I'm not, this isn't my life. This isn't define me. This is just a chapter in a much bigger story. And I don't even know what God's going to do with this. And some of you right now in chapel need to hear that your story isn't over. So would you just turn to your neighbor right now and say, your story isn't over. Tell them that. Your story isn't over. And guess what? Mine wasn't over either. Because I turned 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, and then I met a guy. And it was a miracle, a total miracle. And I will say that this other guy, I started working at this church in Santa Barbara, and this other guy who was married said, you know, every time I'm jogging, I think about this guy, but you know, I don't even know if he's dating anyone because, you know, his ex-wife left him. And I'm like, oh, no, 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 no. No, no, she comes back when I get involved. That's my story. And I'm sticking, no. So there was a lot of fear even meeting him. So we met once a week in Starbucks. We just became friends. And he did everything he could to try to save his marriage. And it wasn't going to be saved. And about 8 months later, he finally proposed, and this time I'm happy to say the wedding happened. That is what God brought me at 49 years old. Now, I know some of you girls right now are going to prayer. Oh, please, God, no. No, no, no. But look at him. I mean, are you kidding me? Do we have a God or what? I mean, honestly, right. I know he's a little old for some of you, but he is hot, I'm telling you. And I mean, I could not believe, and it was like God was saying, do you think I'm bound by time? I know girls don't dream of getting married at 49, but I'm going to do it, just like I did it for Sarah and Abraham. They had a baby at 90 and 100. They were in Depends and diapers at the same time. Because he is God, and he is bigger than our time, and he can do anything. In fact, stack up the impossibilities and watch God move. That is the God you have. And because I'd pretty much outaged myself from parenting, unless he was going to pull another Sarah type birth, which I'm happy to say he has not, this is the package that came with my groom. The next picture shows the little boy. And his mom moved to Australia and got married, so we got a chance to actually raise this child. I always say I got two for the price of one because I waited so long. And because you know that we have been married some time now, this is what this little boy looks like now. And I know, so, now you girls are waking up, I know. I always tell Jordan, like, now I'm starting to show pictures of you, and people are looking at you and not Jared, not your dad anymore, right? So anyway, it's been just this amazing God story of brokenness. Hear me. Brokenness that God brought back together. When Jesus says to Peter, I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Some of you are going to have to hold on. You're going to have to hold on in your life. There's going to be times of darkness. There's going to be times of confusion. You look at the world, there's so much suffering in the world. How can there be a God? You guys, hold on. He is real, and he is at work in your life. And then the last two things Peter says is, and I love this, and Peter, when you turn back. Isn't that beautiful? Two things that Peter is saying in that phrase. Number one, Jesus knows Peter's going to blow it. Because he's telling him he's going to turn back. But isn't it beautiful that Jesus doesn't say, if you turn back? No, Jesus says to Peter, when you turn back. We have a God who believes in us. He has confidence in us. He is the Father on the road waiting for the prodigal to come home. He will never give up on you. And when you turn back, and this is the last line, strengthen your brothers and sisters. Strengthen them with the testimony that you now have. And I want to end by telling you a story of something that happened when I was single that just shows the bigness of the God that we have. Prior to my first engagement, I was sort of the lovelorn, literally the poster child of poor relationships. I was dating a pastor, and everybody thought we would get married. I thought we were going to get married, and one time he was down, I'm getting ahead of myself. So we actually got an opportunity to go on a mission trip to Haiti with Compassion International. And so here's the story in my mind, and this is just so you know the bigger stories that God has in mind. The story in my mind was, oh my gosh, this is so awesome. The two of us are going to see what it's like to serve together in a third world country and do mission work, and it's going to be, because God's calling us together for marriage. And we went on this trip, and after the trip, he was down visiting me, and when we got home, and we got word that his best friend, who was in the bass player in his worship band, had dropped dead of a brain aneurysm, literally dropped dead at 42, leaving two little girls and his wife. We had double dated with him. It was tragic. Cried all night. I put him on a plane, and just to make a long story short, he ended up marrying her, which again was a great story for everyone in the church, except for the girlfriend that was with him. So that was my story before my engagement. So you guys are going, are you kidding me? It's like God beat you up. Yes, a little bit. Yes. But look what he brought, right? So backtrack. That was a story in my mind. But when I was in Haiti, I met this man, and I want to show you his picture. His name was Ephraim. He was a pastor down there. Look at that smile. I mean, he was just incredible. If any of you have had any friends or been to Haiti, you know what a dark place it is. This man grew up there. He loved the Lord, and he was committed to his country. And he was our tour guide, and I was so drawn to him. And I was like, oh my gosh, Ephraim. I got home, and of course, he thought me and this guy were going to get married, too, and I was like, yeah, no, it didn't work out. I said, but I really would love to support you in some way. Now, I was down in Southern California, not working at a church at the time, teaching adjunct at Azusa Pacific, and I was kind of, wanting to just do things on my own, volunteering and that kind of thing. So I said, what can I do? And he goes, well, I have a daughter who I'm putting through school, if you'd like to help her. And I said, I would love to do that. So this next picture shows his daughter and actually his son too. And I became like a family member. I became a part of this family. So this whole trip that we went on brought me and Ephraim together. And I thought, what a great story this turned out to be. But that's not the end of the story, because I ended up going to work at a church in Santa Barbara after my engagement broke up. And when I got there, I found that they were doing mission trips in several places in the world, but they did not have one in Haiti. And he goes, how about leading a trip to Haiti? And I said, I know a guy. I would love to do that. He's a pastor. So for 4 years, I led mission teams to Haiti. And on the first trip, there was a guy that I took on my team from my church who was a doctor. He was a pediatrician. And do you know that to this day, this guy, this doctor, has gone to Haiti 3 times a year to do health clinics because his heart was completely broken and taken by Haiti. And I want to show you a picture of him. He is literally a kid magnet down there. Dr. Tom, he's famous now in Haiti. And the whole reason is because I met Ephraim on this random trip that I was on with my boyfriend. And then I end up going to this church and we end up taking a group to Haiti. And now this relationship has started. So we just kept going, and Ephraim kept praying for me. He's like, I'm praying for you, sister. And I'm like, okay, I got engaged. He's like, hallelujah. And I go, I got unengaged. It's okay, sister, I'm still praying for you. 15 years this man prayed. And then finally, there was a trip to Haiti. And it happened when I was dating Jerry, my husband, but this was prior to when we had gotten married. He was just my boyfriend at the time, and he had never been on a mission trip, and so he came. So I was able to introduce Ephraim to Jerry, and that's Taliana in the picture, and he was super excited to see Jerry and meet him. But here's the best part about the story. Do you know that on the last night of that mission trip, that man got down on one knee in front of the entire mission team and proposed to me in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. Yes, this is a picture. Look how beautiful I look at my engagement. It was awesome. And I mean, I'm like, what a perfect place to get engaged. This man who had prayed for me, and how crazy the story is. And do you know that a woman who was on the first trip to Haiti that I took in Santa Barbara, for her wedding gift, she flew Ephraim out to my wedding in Santa Barbara, and he participated in my wedding. You guys, this is the story that God had in mind when I said, it's just going to be me and my pastor boyfriend learning how to do ministry together. You know what God said to me? Your story's too small. Your story's too small. I got a lot more people I want to touch through this story. And that is what he's saying to you. And when you figure out what God is doing in your life, then you stand in front of a room full of high school students. And brothers and sisters, you proclaim your story because it will strengthen your brothers and sisters. That's what Jesus wants you to do. So let me read this verse one more time, and then we'll close in prayer. Simon, I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And when you turn back, strengthen your brothers and sisters with your testimony. Let me pray for you. I want to invite you, if you want to do this, to just put your hands in your lap with your palms up. Just put your hands in your lap with your palms up. This is a great kind of position to be in to say yes to God. Lord, we know that life is hard. That little graphic of your plan and reality is so true in so many of our lives. But with our open hands, we want to say yes to you. Yes to the life you've given us. We didn't get to choose a lot about our life. We didn't get to choose our parents that we were born into or our families that we ended up with. We didn't get to choose the economic situation of our families or our country where we were born. We didn't get to choose the time in history that we were born into. But Lord, we make choices every day about what to do with this one and only life that you've given us. So my prayer for these students is they would choose well and know that you are praying for them. You love them, and you have a dream for their life. And there is no one else like them in this entire world that has ever been before and ever will be again. So please give them the strength to live their life. And one day we will all be with you in glory. And that is our real story. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, Lori. Would you stand with us, please? We have a father who's a really, really good storyteller. And over the series, we've been talking about different kinds of baggage, and it just struck me as listening to Lori how often we tell our own stories by the baggage that we carry. And we don't have in mind, like, the story he's writing in our lives. So we're just going to close by singing a little part of this last song. And as we sing, make this a prayer to yourself and sing it. You know, some of you are believing it fully, and some of you probably are really struggling to believe the words, but let's sing it together.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am.
Father's house.
In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child.